Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in the Lord's presence. Have some time to just let our hearts rise to Him. And really, the sharing of the word is just a part of that. What I'm going to share this morning is actually part of a little trilogy of series. Some of you will have noticed on the notices that there is some Sunday evenings. I was going to share it on successive Sunday evenings, but we've had to change things around a little. And so I thought I'd start this morning by starting this little trilogy and then continue next Sunday evening and then 2 weeks after that. And with an aim to sort of get into a more regular way of thinking for Sunday evenings. So what I want to, this little trilogy is about lesser known Bible characters. Okay. And when I was in Zambia, I took a book with me, and it just really spoke, and it triggered thoughts, and it provided a framework to share something from these lesser-known Bible characters. And the first one is Malchus. Anyone? I did say they were lesser-known. That's right, yeah. And he's known for having his ear cut off. It's just a small incident, and it's mentioned in each of the four Gospels. But only one verse, except for Luke, where it's two verses. In Matthew and Mark, it just says that a servant of the high priest had his ear cut off. In John, it mentions his name, Malchus. And also in John, it says who did it, which was Peter, the apostle. It's interesting, in Matthew it says, I'm not sure if I got this the right way around, but it says, and those who were with him, that was Peter. So it doesn't refer to Peter by name, but it just says those who were with him. So in other words, one of the disciples. And then in Mark, it says, and one of those who stood nearby drew out his sword, cut off the high priest's servant's ear. And then, of course, in John, it mentions Peter's name. And I think by the time John wrote his gospel, Peter had probably gone to be with the Lord. And so there would have been no sort of comeback or feedback. Why do you mention my name? But the thing is, Peter learnt an enormous amount from that. And it's just, as I said, it's a small incident. It took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. But it was huge for Malchus. And I would like to think, and some of what I would say is a little bit speculative, but it's within the realms of possibility, that the fact that his name is mentioned in the Gospel of John suggests, and it is just a suggestion, that he may have become part of the early church, and he would have been known. But in Luke, it actually says, let's just read it in Luke. It's in Luke chapter 22, verse 50. One of them smote or struck the servant of the high priest. And of course, we know from John that it was Peter who did that. And cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer it thus far. In other words, we're not going to go further than this. This is all we need to do. This is all, Peter, you've expressed your zeal, but we're not going to go any down that road any further. Then he goes on to say in verse 51, and he touched his ear and healed him. And that's all it says. And then Jesus was arrested, taken away. And then in a few hours later, he was put on the cross. So this man, Malchus, his name actually means king or judge. And I don't know what his parents were thinking when they named him that name, but on this day, or evening, night, he was meet a far greater king than he had ever met before. John mentions the name and only Luke mentions the healing. And it all takes part in this background of Gethsemane. Jesus' arrest and his betrayal. And if you can remember the sequence, he spent the Last Supper with his disciples. He then went into the garden with them. He prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." And almost as soon as he had finished praying, this large crowd arrived with sort of lanterns and light, fire. There would have been a noise. It was something of a mob. And there was being confusion because the disciples were thinking, what's going on? Peter just earlier said, "Lord, I will go to death with you. I will never betray you, I never deny you." And then suddenly this happens, and there's so much going on in the garden. You would think that this was the most unlikely scene for a miracle that was about to occur. And this is the wonder of Jesus, is that he doesn't sort of try and manipulate events. He just moves. He just lives. And his grace flows out from him. If you remember some of the healings, it says that virtue came out of him. It mentions that a couple of times, but that was true all the time with Jesus. Virtue just came out from him wherever he was. And if you think that virtue could come out of this person, Jesus, at the very point of being betrayed, being arrested, taken away, and shortly after to be condemned to death, it's an extraordinary picture of the grace and the majesty and the wonder of God in this person of Jesus. He could have easily said, no, I've got other things on my mind. And even one of his own followers sort of, well, in one sense, Peter followed character, but it was so against the character of Christ that this person should take up a sword and demonstrate the sort of the anger and the rage of man. And then a few moments later, Christ demonstrated love and peace and restoration. So this is such amazing contrast, all going on in a short period of time. As I said, it's the most unlikely scene for a miracle. In Gethsemane, the Garden of Tears, he shed tears of drops of blood, as they were tears. And against all of this, and against the hatred which was being expressed by the crowd that came to meet Jesus, Jesus responded and met that hatred with love. He didn't just meet that hatred, he overcame it. And you think of Judas's treachery and betrayal. Jesus showed kindness, no sense of revenge, just utter kindness and utter grace. This is the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, we can't deny that he never took up the sword. He takes up the sword in judgment. And of course the sword comes out of his mouth as we read in Revelation. But as for a physical sword, I don't think Jesus ever wielded one. He could have summoned 12 legions of angels, and he says this just moments to the crowd later after the healing. But he didn't, because he wanted to do his Father's will. He was in utter submission and surrender to the will of God. And that will of God was not to exact revenge and hatred and to repay like for like against the crowd that came to arrest him. It was so, so much more. And when he was stood before Pilate, you know, and Pilate asked him various questions, he simply said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it was, my servants would fight, but they don't." Now, I'm not advocating, this is not a place for sort of advocating passivism. But it's just demonstrating the character and the person of Jesus Christ in the face of such provocation. And this is what happened. So they came, they arrested him. And as I said, Peter's misguided zeal cut off the high priest's, the servant's ear of the high priest. And Peter was going to learn much from that later on. When he wrote later on in his epistle, he said, when Jesus was reviled, he did not revile again. And I think a deep lesson went on in Peter's heart as he saw the reaction of Christ right in front of him to this man whose ear had just been cut off. Jesus did not commend Peter. He didn't say, well done, Peter, but, you know, there's other guys there. You ought to do the same for them. None of that. It was so, so different. So what did Jesus actually do? As he saw this man, now bear in mind that this man, Malchus, he was a servant of the high priest, and the high priest, with this mob, had come to arrest Jesus. So in one sense, Malchus was a representative of the enemies of Jesus Christ. Those who came to arrest him, imprison him, and basically kill him, and try and restrict and prevent and halt all the ministry of Jesus. That's what they came for, and Malchus was part of that crowd doing that very thing. I don't know how much he was sort of part of it and whether he was just following orders. I don't know. But he was a representative of the enemy of God. But that did not stop Jesus from doing what he did to this man when his ear was cut off. I remember back in school, I was playing handball. It's like football, but just using your hands. And we're having an inter-house championship. And in my enthusiasm and vigour, I was diving to sort of try and score a goal. And I fell over and I hit my head on the side. And it cut my ear. Now, it was only a small cut, but it bled profusely. And sometimes my dear wife says to me, well, if there's no blood, there's no sympathy. But on that occasion, there was plenty of blood. But the point is this, that when an ear is cut, there's a huge blood supply to the ear. We've got medics in the room. I hope they would back that up. But there is a large blood supply, and if you do cut it, even though the cut is small, it will bleed profusely. And when Malchus's ear was cut off, it would have bled profusely. There would have been blood over his tunic or whatever he was wearing, falling on the ground. It would have been a real mess. And it would have been so easy for Jesus to ignore that and sort of to almost think, well, serves you right for coming to arrest me. But Jesus didn't do that. And it says that not only did he stop the bleeding, he could have just put his hand on or got a piece of cloth pressed hard against the ear to stop the bleeding, but he did more. He didn't just stop the bleeding. He healed him, as we read in Luke. He restored him. That man, Malchus, I don't quite know exactly what Jesus did, because If someone doesn't have an ear, it would be extremely noticeable. You know, he would have carried that for the rest of his life. I don't know how much Jesus healed his ear, but I would like to think that that ear was restored partially at least. Maybe not fully, so that when he was later on in the church, people would talk to him and say, "Are you the one? Were you there when Jesus was arrested? Were you in Gethsemane?" And he said, "Yes, look, it's not quite the same as the other. There is a mark, but it was restored and made whole by me, Jesus Christ, by Jesus, the one that I had come to arrest, the one that I had been told to hate, the one that I have been asked to do all kinds of wrong things to. How did he respond when my ear was cut off? I was just a slave. I'm nobody. I would hardly be worth bothering with. If I was dismissed because of my ear, I would have been easily replaced by someone else. I was of no account, but not in the eyes of Jesus Christ. I was important to him." That's the wonder and the heart of God in Jesus. As he was being arrested, as he was being spat on, hated, anger and rage was being poured out on him, yet he responded in kindness and love. And he put his hand against the ear, not only stopped the bleeding, but made him whole. That's what it says in Luke. He made him whole. And maybe there was a little mark so that he could tell about it later. He carried that story on his ear, but also in his heart for the rest of his life. But it wasn't just a sort of quick healing. I think at the moment that Jesus touched his ear, Malchus would have looked into the face of God in Jesus Christ as Jesus looked at him. And what did he see? He saw utter, pure, selfless love. Jesus did not do this to demonstrate to his enemies that he was greater. He wasn't sort of saying to them, said, "Well, you've come to arrest me, but look what I can do, and if you'll let me go free, then I can do this to many other people as well." It wasn't like that. He didn't do it for show or performance, as so tragically so many in other countries tend to do when they just do it for effect. Jesus didn't do it for that. He loved this man, not because he knew him or because he did anything good. He certainly did not. Malchus was completely unworthy to receive this healing. Completely unworthy, as indeed we all are. None of us deserve it. None of us earn it. Malchus certainly didn't. He was just there, and he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, just close enough to Peter for Peter to draw out his sword and cut off his ear. But in another sense, he was in the right place at the right time because Jesus Christ was there. And although one of Jesus' own disciples, a representative of Jesus, cut off this man's ear, yet Jesus himself would have none of it and put it back on again. That is the wonder of Jesus. That's whom we've come to worship. It was a touch from heaven. In the midst of all the anger and rage of earth. And as I look about on the world today, I see plenty of anger, plenty of rage. We read it, hear it on the news, but also we see it sometimes down our streets or in the places where we work. It's called sin. It's the outworking and expression of sin. And it's everywhere. It's permeated the entire human race. No one is exempt. Everyone is affected. And if I was Peter, or if one of us was Peter, we may have acted in the same way. And if we didn't actually act in the same way, we might have thought in the same way. How unfair. How unjust. Don't you realize that what you're doing is wrong? Jesus, defend yourself. Do something. Show these people that they are wrong. In one sense he did, but not in the way that anyone expected. He touched that man's ear and made it whole once again. What an amazing Saviour we have. Malchus had no right or access to the grace of God. But he who said, love your enemies, love this man. And not only loved him, but healed him. You think of, just go into the book of Romans, chapter 5. And think of it in the context of Malchus. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God commended his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait until we were showed signs of improvement. He didn't wait until we thought we might earn it, or if we go to church that somehow things might get better and that God would look upon us more favourably. While we were still sinners. And then it goes on to say in verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God was in Christ. Someone prayed it earlier. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And he did that while we were still enemies. While there was nothing in us that commended ourselves to God. God was commending himself to us with his love. And he demonstrated this in a portion in the way that he touched Malchus's ear. He went out to Malchus. He touched him. He loved him. He cared for him. Malchus, as I said earlier, was just a servant, a slave. Someone of no account whatsoever. I wonder whether the high priest even knew his name. But someone went and found out his name. Maybe it was John, we don't know. After the day of Pentecost, maybe John went and found him out. Are you the man whom Jesus touched your ear? Let me tell you more about him. He healed you physically on that day. But he can do so, so much more than physical healing. He can put us right emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and whatever way that sin may have ravished and ravaged our lives and destroyed them and brought them down and made them into the mess that we were. Malchus is like a picture of every sinner. Without the touch of Christ, our life force ebbs and flows out from us, just as the blood did from Malchus's ear. Unless Jesus had done something to stop that bleeding, he could have possibly, I don't know how severe the cut was, but it's not beyond the realms of possibility that he could have bled to death. Because as I said earlier, when you cut an ear, the blood flows very freely and fully. Now you translate that into a spiritual sense. Sin causes our life force to flow out from us. We've got something far much more wrong with us than just an ear that's bleeding. We've got a heart that's bleeding. We've got a life that's bleeding. It's bleeding with all that should have been and could have been good and hopeful and peaceful and loving and kind and generous and gentle. All of that is just flowing out from us and we can't stop it. No one can stop it. Even if we determine and resolve in our hearts, make New Year's resolutions, I'm going to be better this year. It doesn't work because there's something within us that works against us, that prevents us from being the kind of people that God wants us to be. We also need a touch from the Saviour. We need Jesus to touch our lives and reverse all the horrendous and devastating consequences of sin. And that's exactly what Jesus has come to do. Not just touch us physically, but touch us deep inside to stop the life force flowing out from us. In a few hours' time, Jesus was to find himself on a cross, which was the ultimate demonstration and expression to the whole world of his love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And his only begotten Son gave himself to Malchus on that night. He didn't need to. It would have been easy if he had just been led away and just left that man to nurse his pain and his life-threatening condition. But Jesus stepped in and made the difference. And he can make the difference to us as well. So for Malchus, it was a brief moment. In the midst of anger and hate, Malchus saw peace and love. He saw into the face of God. And though utterly unworthy, he received grace in the form of Jesus' last miracle before the cross. Have you thought of that? The last thing that he did, the last physical act of healing before he was taken away and underwent a cruel and very unfair trial. He didn't need to do it, but he did it. Because love just flows out from him. And it is inexhaustible. Exhaustless. It's a reservoir. A depth that no man can ever get to the bottom of. It's a breadth that is wider than could be measured. A length likewise. All of this in Jesus Christ. And it was expressed to Malchus. This man who was just following orders, didn't fully understand what he was doing, didn't really know who this person Jesus was. He may have heard rumours and just sort of heard hearsay. But then he met him face to face, and Jesus loved him, touched him, healed him, made him a different person. I would, as I said earlier, it's a bit speculative, but I'd like to think that after all of this, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection and the ascension and the day of Pentecost, I don't know what this man Malchus would have done. Would he have resigned his position as servant to the high priest? I have no idea. History doesn't record it. But I'd like to think that there was something going on in his mind which made him ask the question, why did that man do that to me on that occasion? Why did he act in the way that he did? Why did he love me, a man who came to arrest him and do harm to him and to do all kinds of evil to him? Why did he do that? And when I looked into his eyes and into his face, what did I see? I saw no revenge, no hatred coming back. I only saw love, the love of God, perfectly expressed in Jesus Christ and demonstrated by that physical touch, which touched my ear, which was bleeding profusely, stopped it, but not only stopped it, but restored it and made it whole. And that's exactly what Jesus can do to each and every one of our lives. Malchus is just a small example. Of course, there were hundreds of people that were healed throughout Jesus' ministry while he was on earth. But he doesn't stop there. He continues through his body. He continues through his spirit, healing and touching worldwide over all that will call upon his name. And it's amazingly enough, this man, Malchus, he didn't even pray for healing. He didn't ask for it. He certainly didn't have the faith for it. He just was there, and Jesus saw him in his condition and sort of looked at him as a representative of the whole world. Malchus, you are in pain. You are hurting. Your blood is flowing out from you. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to do something which is going to make the difference. What a wonderful Saviour we have. And he continues to do the same today. Now we can call upon his name. Now I want to just say quickly, this is more than just physical healing. And sometimes physical healing, we demand it. But perhaps, let me just read something I wrote here. Do we dictatorially demand healing, claiming it as a right? Or do we submit to the Son of God so we may become more truly humble, penitent and dependent upon him? It may be that God has already helped you, but you do not realize it because he is working in you a new and unexpected process. Glory be to his name. Yes, he can physically heal, but we should never demand it. It is only utterly of grace that he touches any one of us, physically I mean. But he can touch every one of us spiritually. And he may do something that we are not aware of. He may be beginning a process, even from that physical suffering that you may be going through, that you are unaware of. But he is aware of. Sorry to repeat myself, but Malchus, he could have just left him there and carried on. But he didn't. He touched this man. Now it's interesting that it was one of Jesus' followers that inflicted the wound. And sometimes, sad to say, within the context of a church, some people say things that perhaps they ought not, and they go deep. Jesus can heal that as well. If you've been hurt, Jesus can touch you. He can reverse anything that anyone has ever done. Glory be to his name. We are all, in one sense, like Malchus. We've all been wounded. We've all carried pain, hurt, suffering, a multitude of things. We wouldn't have enough time to name them all. But Jesus is the answer to every single problem. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. I don't know who's said that, but it's a lovely thought. And he's here today. It's not just heaven, but it's the person in heaven. Jesus Christ, the one who's the King of heaven. You remember Malchus's name? King or judge or counselor? He met a greater king on this day. A king that touched him. The King of love. My shepherd is, whose goodness fails never. He wants to do the same today to everyone. Whatever thing you may be carrying, whatever sorrow that may be a burden to you, he can touch it. You might just be someone that you think is completely unimportant. Malchus would have thought the same. He was not even the captain of the guard. He was no one significant in one respect, but he was highly significant to God. Very important to Jesus Christ. And he loved him. He healed him. He blessed him. If stopping the bleeding was all that he did, that would have been enough and it would have spoken so much. But he healed the wound, made it whole, restoring what had been so ugly to have looked at. But when Jesus touches things, touches our lives, he turns the ugly into something that is beautiful. The greatest of all our problems is sin, as I've already said. And Jesus can put that right. That's why he's come. He is the Saviour of the world. He's come to restore our lives. Not partially, not just an ear, but the whole body. And not just the body, but the whole personality and being. Everything that makes up us and makes us who we are He puts us right. He aligns us with himself. This is the work of heaven, or I should really say, the work of Jesus Christ. Touching Malchus's ear, restoring it, making it whole. He can touch your life too, and mine, and make it completely whole, so that everything is wrong and out of kilter, he can put it straight, just by a simple touch of the Lord.